I'll get it. Hello?
Hello? How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So what can I get you?
Nothing, thank you.
What have you got for him?
I brought a toy.
He's in his room. I was just with him.
Hello, Balor.
Hello, Terang, darling. How are you today?
I would like to be alone with him.
Okay, of course, no problem.
What are you saying, Sarah? How can it be? She's a mother. We can't stop her.
We can, Balor. We can choose how we handle the matter, and we'll adapt to the situation little by little.
If you hear it from me, I say it's impossible. You'll see.
Anyway, if she calls again, if she arranges to come here again, just tell her you've been given instructions not to let her in. I'll tell the guards also, and if she insists, I'll talk to her.
SRF. It's me, Terang. I know I should not have come here. But I just couldn't help it. I was going crazy with worry.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Arif. The tea was great.
I made it myself. It's more delicious when you eat it with jam.
This is really so good. I never really learned how to bake before. But I always used to make jam. Uncle Fazel loved raspberry jam. I gave him so much trouble. I'll never forgive myself. While he was alive, I never knew what it meant to be lonely. He stood behind me like a mountain. Whenever there was a problem, I was sure I had someone I could rely on and ask for help. But after he died, the only thing I had was hardship and loneliness.
You should really change the way you live, even if it's for a short time. Otherwise, you won't last. You'll get sick.
The first days are very hard. But gradually it gets bearable. I just need to wait now. Then everything will melt away into the distant past. Eventually you get used to everything, even loneliness.
That's what you should be afraid of. Getting used to loneliness is worse than loneliness itself.
Excuse me, but how are you able to say that? Tell me, aren't you always alone?
Perhaps that's because I know what it means better than anyone else. Even after all these years, I'm still afraid of loneliness.
But from my impression, I thought you preferred to live like this.
Well, why would you think I liked it?
Because I never saw you frequenting with people. But it's no big deal. You can always change your life anytime you want.
When I was young, I thought if I was strong, I could determine my fate by myself. But it was fate that decided the course of my life. And all along, I've just been pretending to be strong.
Perhaps, but you don't seem to be at all.
Don't you think we should change the topic? I have a few baking books. I think you'll enjoy looking at them very much.
Can I just ask you a question, please?
It depends.
Who is Arif Nafisi?
Where did you hear that name?
I didn't. It's been stamped on the first page of most of your books. I didn't want to be nosy. But I was surprised the first name is the same as your last name.
Don't be so sure that you know everything about me.
You mean that Arif is not your last name?
No. Arif is not my real last name.
What is it then?
My real name is Mahtab. Mahtab Azin.
Azin? So wait, Mr. Azin.
Mahrab and I are siblings.
Wow, that is such a big surprise. Then who is Arif Nafisi?
You were supposed to ask only one question, not more. Now you'd better think a bit about learning to bake.
How is he?
Better. His behavior is much more balanced. We're satisfied. I've managed to reduce his drug dosage significantly, too.
What if seeing Amir makes him distraught?
I hope not. Anyway, that's what you insisted on.
What do you think? If you think it's risky, we can really go before he wakes up.
Look, we both know that your father is very, very unpredictable. He might be really happy to see Amir, or he may be completely indifferent and not react at all. It's also possible that he'll get agitated and flustered like that other time. But I really hope that he behaves like a normal person.
What if he asks whose child he is?
Just tell the truth. There's no way out. You've got to tell him sooner or later. If you don't say it now, you'll face bigger problems later.
I'm worried. I'm so scared.
His reaction is very important. It can greatly affect his recovery, positively or negatively. You never know. This little one may help your father regain his health and come back home.
Look, he's waking up. You see how sweet he is, Father?
He's so little, so small. What's his name?
Amir. His name is Amir.
Let me hold him.
Father, can you guess whose child he is?
What, he's yours?
No.
Father, he's Sina's son.
Whose son did you say?
Sina. Amir is Sina's son.
Sina.
Listen. In this cruel city, you should be looking for a shack to live in. We looked everywhere for 2 full months.
At the end, we return to square one. I'm still lucky because I have a breadwinner. He's working from dawn to dusk to provide for me, and it's still very expensive for us. I was telling her that there's nothing worse in this world than being somebody's tenant. Can you guess where we finally settled?
I've no idea. Probably out of Tehran.
No way. After so much looking, we finally went back to Golnar's place.
Golnar? Are they still renting out that place?
Of course. Why wouldn't they? Especially now that Golnar's dad is out of jail and jobless, idling around. How should they earn money? Excuse me, is it okay if dear Tarang helps me fill out this form?
Yes, no problem.
You know my handwriting is rather crooked, so you may not be able to read my address if one of these days you do me a special favor and find me a beautiful job. It's a young photo of me. Look how I've changed. Here, dear, please fill it out. I pray that God willing, you'll find a job. By the way, any news of your son? You're so quiet right now that I almost forgot you're actually a mother.
He's doing fine. We're in touch with him. In fact, I'm seeing him tomorrow.
Your face shows you're full of anxiety. Oh, poor thing. Your little heart must be on fire, but you're not showing it. I know what you're going through.
To those who ridicule and laugh at the prophets. This is not something you want to do.
Arrest and question any stranger who sets foot in the city, do you understand? I don't want one word spoken without our guards hearing and recording what was said.
At a time when sadness and futility reigned, everyone hopes for salvation.
For years, the rabbis at this temple, including myself, have anxiously awaited the arrival of the Messiah.
Has he been born yet?
He has. I heard his cries with my own ears.
The child that I wanted to devote to you has turned out to be a girl.
The boy we await will be a great man. However, he has to be born to a great and pious mother. A woman even more virtuous than you, Hannah. The promised Messiah will be born to your daughter.
She is your servant. Your humble servant. This is Mary.
A holy girl, a holy woman, a holy child.
God knows there is no other human being like the girl in your arms. She has greatness within her. Much more greatness than anybody realizes, my dear.
No girl has ever served in a temple. No female has ever entered this holy place.
The Chosen One.
Well, Zechariah, I heard you're making a hut in the temple for Mary.
Is it possible that Mary could someday be Christ's mother?
Whatever may happen to your daughter is God's will. The health and well-being of every person rests in His hands. I can only pray for your child and her health. The voice said, God has chosen you, Mary. It called out my name, along with the name of three other women. That voice was so beautiful. Oh, Grandfather, the way it said those names, The Christ will come and abolish these money-loving hypocrites who would keep them in bondage. He will loose their bindings.
How could we be expected to speak to a newborn baby?
Saint Mary on iFilm.
Ma'am, excuse me, please.
I'm going to Mr. Ghaffari's residence.
Yes, I know you're going there, but I'm afraid Ms. Ghaffari has ordered me to stop you before you come in.
Could you please call her?
What should I tell her?
Tell her I want to go upstairs right now. Call her now!
Hello, Ms. Ghaffari. Sorry for bothering you. The lady you mentioned is here right now, and... Well, I did as you said. Well, she insists on coming up...
You've told them not to let me upstairs? Why? You know you can't do this. I won't let you. No, listen, Sarah. I am that child's mother. His mother. Don't you understand that? You have no right to deprive me of seeing my baby. No! Impossible! I must talk to you now. I'm waiting downstairs. Sarah, what are you trying to do here? You want to prevent me from seeing my child from now on? How can you do that?
I realize that you're angry right now. We can continue talking like this. I think we'll get better results if you just calm down and listen to me.
Forget about my anger right now. Talk about the decision that you've made.
I can't do it like this. Sit down for a few minutes to talk properly. Why are you so mad anyway? Do you think it might be because I'm trying to do the whole thing in the right way as soon as possible?
You call this the right way? Tell me, could it be any worse than this?
Yes, it could. I'm going to ask you a question. Please answer me with patience and consideration. Why do you think you agreed to give Amir to me in the first place? Ever wondered? Wasn't it because you were worried about his future? Wasn't it you, who wanted him to grow up in our family so that he wouldn't have problems later on in his life? Then why are you so upset and angry about?
That is no reason for depriving me of seeing my child. It's not like I want to take him away with me, I just want to see him from time to time. Am I really asking for too much here?
I feel for you. But my concern is that the two of you will get so used to each other that separation will be really hard later on.
If so, then I'm never to see Amir again. You know in your heart that this is impossible.
If I knew you were going to make such a decision someday, I'd never have left my child with you.
We've already discussed all the options and solutions logically before making this carefully thought of decision. But now you're ruining everything because of emotion and excitement, without even realizing that it's Amir who will be harmed more than anyone else. Do you agree?
Sarah, I've changed my mind. I made a very big mistake. Give me back my baby.
Today is not a good time to talk about all this. We'll discuss it in a few days when you've calmed down.
I haven't ever begged anyone in my life. But at this moment, I'm asking you. Begging you to return my child back to me. There is no way I can live without Amir.
Until when? Tarang, I understand your feelings. But you can't keep Amir past his 7th birthday. You know about this. It seems that you've forgotten everything that we've talked about.
7 years is too good for me. You can say a year, a month, even a night. A night that he sleeps beside me till the morning. I am willing to die for that moment. Sarah, please do this.
You're still very, very young. Your life has only just begun, really. You can remarry, have many kids, have a warm and cheerful family, a family without loneliness. Come on now. Let's go upstairs. You can stay with us for a few hours. But it's just for today. I ask you not to repeat the situation again. You know you can count on me to keep my word. You can be reassured of this. Amir is my whole life. I can't see myself living without him.
Tarang.
Why don't you answer the phone?
I'm not allowed to see Amir anymore. Sarah has forbidden me from visiting him.
How can they do that? She can't do such a thing.
Obviously she can. If I want to sue her and drag her into court battles, it'll take too long. Sometimes I feel as though I'm the most miserable person in the world.
I'm not really into talking and airing my grief. But I have always wanted to tell you my life story at least once. Well, I think maybe it's because I believe our fates are so similar. Like you, I lost my husband very early in life. Unlike you, when I was only 19, and just one day after the start of our married life. You are so lucky to have a child you can fight for, or at least be hopeful about in a distant future. Oh, but for me, there is nothing left except for bitter memories. Are you still curious to know Arif Nafisi?
Yes, very much. I would have asked you 10 times by now if I wasn't so shy.
No need to ask 10 times. Now get up and wash your face. Then change and come upstairs to have a hot cup of tea. I'll be waiting. I love you like a window staring at the night sky. Waiting for the sun to rise in the morning sky. I do love you. I love you like a fish swimming in its small pond that's in love with a bird, thinking his blue ceiling is the open sea above. I do love you like the speech slowly, slowly drifting in our glances in silence and floating in the big space of time. Written at 1:17 a.m., 17th of December, 1991. This is the very last poem written by Arif. Exactly 8 days before his horrible death.
Horrible death? How come?
Arif Nafisi was Mehrab's friend, but they met back in college, and their close friendship spread to our home as well. But unlike Mehrab, Arif was noisy, disorderly, exciting, and always so lively. He loved poetry, stories, and photography. I always had a strange feeling about him, but I couldn't exactly say what it was. When I was about 17, I realized I loved him. Gradually, I felt he loved me too. You know, women are never wrong about men's feelings towards them. Soon Arif admitted his love and talked of his decision to marry me. He was 13 years older than me. It was even scary to think about it. Scary because We had to ask for someone's blessing who we already knew was seriously opposed to this marriage.
Mr. Azin?
No, not him. Mother. My mother. A self-made woman who had shouldered the burden of life on her own right after our father's immature death. Her firmness and narcissism was well known in the entire family. She didn't like Arif since day one. Everything I liked about Arif was the subject of her criticism. His loud and childish laughter, his carefree attire, the poems he read aloud, his political discussions.
Your tea is cold now. Let me change it for you.
No, thanks. Cold tea is good too. Before long, Arif, who was bold by nature, suddenly opened up to Mehrab. And this ended their relationship. They didn't meet for such a long time. Mother didn't even agree to let him come to propose. Arif transferred the house he'd inherited to me. It's this very building we are in now. But it was no use. Nothing in the world could change Mother's mind. She was so controlling that I didn't dare oppose her or say my opinion. So I would do everything secretly. This made us grow further apart every day. I know you're probably thinking what a bad girl I was towards my mom, right?
No. I mean, honestly, I really don't know what to say. I lost my mom too soon. For me, Mother has always been a sacred name. Someone with long, silky hair and warm, kind hands. A supportive person for whom I'd readily sacrifice my life. I guess that's why I'm afraid to judge falsely. I just wonder why you didn't do anything about it.
I was only 19 then. What was I supposed to do? I had to either give up on my beloved or had to leave home. After so many fights with myself, I chose the second option. One morning, without telling Mother, we went straight to a register who was Arif's friend and got married in the presence of witnesses. Arif had made all the legal preparations beforehand. The very same day, we left and drove in Arif's car to visit his family. They knew about everything. We had a small celebration with a dozen people. There was cake, dancing, and blessings for us. After a few hours, Arif called Mother. You can guess how all hell broke loose. Mother said she'd come north the next day with the cops. They had a serious fight. Arif, who was angered by Mom's threat, said he would return to Tehran that very night to settle the issue once and for all. He set off for Tehran on a wintry night, tired and very upset, driving on mountainous roads. But he never reached Tehran. A few days later, his body was pulled out from his mangled car. It was found burned in a deep valley. Since then, I have never wanted to see my mother again.
Why is it, do you think, that when people hear other people's sorrows, they tolerate their own problems more easily?
I really don't know. But I know that people also bear their pain more easily when they pour out their heart to someone who can understand them. Tarang. Believe me, there's nothing worse than loneliness.